I've entitled this Seeing God at Work in a Crisis. Seeing God at Work in a Crisis, and for sure, we're in the middle of a crisis. This is a corporate crisis, but in the middle of the corporate crisis, there's always some personal things that we have to go through. And as I have been reflecting on this past week, my appreciation, my esteem of the Old Testament saints it has increased. When I look back and realize that many of them ended up in isolation. I referred a few weeks back to Daniel and the Hebrew boys who were taken into exile, not because of anything that they specifically did, but because of the sinfulness of the nation into a heathen context, whether by themselves. And yet Daniel and the Hebrew young men were able to maintain their walk with God. Daniel was able to pray 3 times a day and to be able to interpret dreams and all manner of stuff, had all sort of encounters with God and with angels, all by his lonesome self. And it has caused my esteem of these men to increase. Today, I want to focus primarily on Joseph. And again, as I reflected upon on Joseph, my esteem for him has skyrocketed. So talking about God, seeing God at work in a crisis, again, we know from scripture and from songs we sing that God is always working, even we don't realize it. But I think that there are several things that we can see, and I'll highlight just five out of the many things we can see. One will be the divine sovereignty at work. God is sovereign and he's always at work in the midst of our crises. The fact that in the midst of our crisis, we can expect God's guidance, so we have divine guidance. In the midst of our crisis, we can expect God to give us divine wisdom. In the midst of our crisis, God will provide for us, so we'll see God's provision in whatever way we need it. And also we'll experience divine compassion. So those are the five things I want to reflect on for the next little while. So going back to divine sovereignty, this is part of God's nature. This is part of his attributes. It's part of how we define God, that he's sovereign, which means he can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. And linked to all of his sovereignty is some of the other attributes, such as the fact that he is all-powerful, so no one can stop him when he decides to do what he wants to do. That he's all-knowing, so he knows what's happening. He's never caught by surprise. And that he is also, of course, as we will see, on all caring. So the fact that he's sovereign based upon his attributes. He can do whatever he wants to do because he's all-powerful, and no one can stop him. And he, as it were, doesn't even seek to fit into our little box that we put him into. He works outside of our own little box because he's God. And as I looked at the life of Joseph, I see Joseph coming to a point where he recognized that. I want to read a passage from Genesis chapter 45, starting from verse 4. Genesis 45 from verse 4, this is the NIV. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. For it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there'll be no plowing and reaping." Verse 7, "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you, a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Oh, welcome, Dennis. "So then," verse 8, "it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt." And so, as I've been reflecting on the life of Joseph, and here he's saying to his brothers, you know, "You sold me to Egypt, but it was God who had a sovereign plan. God was at work, and Joseph saw the hand of God in his crisis. A crisis which lasted for many years, at least 13 years. And as I reflect on Joseph, he marvels me. We know that, and I've put some stuff here in the notes that I sent out, that Joseph as a child, his mother Rachel died. She died in childbirth with Benjamin. Scholars think he might have been perhaps 6, 7, 8 years old when his mother passed away. So he grew up perhaps with Leah as his stepmother, but he didn't have that close relationship with her as he would have had with his own biological mother. And so in a sense, he had to struggle to figure out who he was. Later on, the scripture tells us that when he was about 17, he was a talebearer. He'd come back home and tell his father the things that his other brothers did, which caused his brothers not to like him. His father saw him a little bit as a favorite, made this coat for him, but that even made things worse. And then God sovereignly gave Joseph these two dreams about his future. And Joseph boasted about these dreams, which only made things worse for him. But I realized that God is, despite Joseph's failings, despite his weaknesses, God sovereignly just gave him these two dreams. Just out of the blue, so to speak. God just sovereignly gave him these two dreams, which, as we know, prepared him for the crisis he was going to go through. But nonetheless, he didn't realize it at the time. God just sovereignly dropped these two dreams into his life. And these two dreams kept him during the times of hardship. And so Joseph could look back at his dreams and realize, as his dreams have been fulfilled, it was God who sent me here to Egypt. He might have used means that were not the best in our minds, but it was still the hand of God that he could see at work. Joseph came to, and the thing about Joseph, when he was sent into Egypt, he didn't have any church. And as I reflect on his life, he had no church. In fact, he had no Bible. The Bible wasn't written yet. He had no Zoom to talk to people and listen to people. He had no internet to be able to use to listen to preaching. He had no Christian radio to listen to. He was in Egypt all by his lonesome self. And I thought to myself, what a man. Because I have so many things at my disposal. And just a few weeks and we get frustrated, just a few weeks and we get restless. And here's a young man, no church, no one to communicate with, no Bible to read, no history of God's movement apart from what he might have heard from his father about how God worked with Abraham and others. And here he was in slavery. And yet still he remained faithful to God in the situation of slavery and later on in the situation of being imprisoned. And his time away was 13 years. 13 years of what I would call crisis. Crisis that none of us have ever experienced that dimension. And I pray and hope that none of us will ever experience that type of crisis. And yet still he remained faithful. He saw the hand of God bringing good out of the evil that happened to him. He said that to his brothers later on in chapter 50, that you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. So you could see the hand of God in his past. And in the middle of his crisis, when God started to work through, he gave acknowledgement to God every step of the way. And God was with Joseph in the midst of these 13 years of crisis. He maintained his walk with the Lord to the extent that people observed it and realized it. Potiphar realized it. It says in Genesis 39 and verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything that he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes. So Potiphar, a pagan, could look at the life of Joseph and see the hand of God at work in his life. And that's why he put him in charge of his entire business, all of his slaves, his household, everything. Because he saw the hand of God in the life of this young man who was in a crisis. I mean, I was in that type of crisis. I'd be so depressed and distressed and distraught. And, there's no way I'd be working to the best of my ability. It would be hard for me to maintain my relationship with God. But that's what Joseph did. He maintained his relationship with God. So it says that God blessed him. God prospered him. And many times when people talk about prosperity, they're talking about material things. But it's much more than that. It's seeing God giving you success in whatever you put your hand and your mind to. And that's what Joseph saw in the midst of his crisis, that God was at work. And because you were so blessed by God, the enemy comes in, and we all know the story of Potiphar's wife tried to get him to sin. And Joseph said to her in Genesis 39 and verse 9, he said to her, "No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" He didn't say sin against Potiphar. You know, he didn't say, you know, sin against the values that I have, but he said to sin against God. So this verse shows me that he maintained a certain relationship with God without any church, without any history to look back on, without any Bible, without any Christian television. This young man was able to maintain this walk with God, this close walk with God, that he would not allow the devil to use this woman to tempt him to sin. And so, friends, I just want to encourage us that in the midst of whatever we are going through, even if we don't understand it, because I'm sure Joseph didn't understand it, I'm sure he was perplexed, we can still maintain a walk with God that is close with God. And I know it was close because later on, Joseph was able to interpret dreams. The dreams of the baker and the dreams of the wine taster. And you can't do those things unless you're walking close to God. So this young man was able to maintain that walk with God. No iPod to listen to, nothing, just himself and the Lord. And he was able to maintain it. When he was thrown into prison, for living an upright life, the jailer saw the hand of God in Joseph's life. In other words, he maintained his close walk with the Lord in the middle of that. And that's why the jailer put him in charge of the other jailers. And so there was Joseph maintaining his walk with the Lord. And in the middle of being in jail, these two men, the butler and the wine taster, came in. And he was able to testify about God to them. He was able to talk to them about God, saying, "Listen, you have your dreams, but there is a God who gives understanding. There's a God who gives interpretation of dreams." No wonder, as I reflect on his life, I just have to marvel at his commitment to the Lord. And he maintained his walk. 13 years later, Pharaoh had his dream. By that time, most of us would have given up with this thing about serving God, because it wasn't a short-term thing. It wasn't just for a year or two or three. It's 13 years, part of which was spent in jail. And jails in those days were not as nice as jails in America today. All for just seeking to walk with the Lord. And so Pharaoh, when he was brought before Pharaoh in terms of the dreams, he said to Pharaoh, "There's a God in heaven who gives interpretation of dreams." So he had this confidence in his God that God would enable Pharaoh to understand what was happening. And so God's sovereignty is there seen in the life of Joseph, that God was with him in the midst of whatever he was going through. God was working through him in the midst of his circumstances, which wasn't at all pleasant. Part of God's sovereignty in our crisis is that he's able to fulfill multiple things simultaneously. He was able to work, I believe, in the life of Joseph. He had some issues there as a child, perhaps issues of pride, other issues. And God was able to work in his life and get those things out. He was able to bring Pharaoh to a place where Pharaoh could hear God's word and understand that there's a God in heaven who interprets dreams. He was there to save his own siblings, to preserve a remnant. So God is able to work multiple things out at the same time, because he's that type of sovereign God. And when I realize that, it gives me a basis for faith. I don't understand many things, but one thing I know is that God is sovereign and he will fulfill his will and his purposes. All I need to do is to maintain my walk with him, my closeness to him, my commitment to him. So the sovereignty of God can be seen in the midst of our crisis. The guidance of God can be seen in the midst of a crisis that God speaks to people, both to the saved and the unsaved. That's what the life of Joseph shows. He spoke to the baker, he spoke to the wine taster, he spoke to Pharaoh. He gave them dreams, and these weren't individuals who were following him. These are just individuals that he wanted to reveal himself to, and he spoke to them. So God speaks to people in the midst of crisis, and he gives them guidance. And so you and I, in the midst of a crisis, we, as we draw close to the Lord, we can hear his voice. Caroline just shared how God sovereignly revealed what was necessary for her circumstance in terms of the joy of the Lord. Each one of us, God will speak to us in the midst of the crisis that we find ourselves in right now. Joseph said to Pharaoh that God gives interpretation of dreams. That's Genesis 41 and verse 39. Let me read it for us. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, Verse 39, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there's no one so discerning and as wise as you. Because Joseph had already said to him, God will give interpretation. And now Pharaoh has an interpretation to his dream. And Pharaoh is acknowledging that God is the one who gave the interpretation to the dream and give guidance as to how to walk this out, how to prepare for the future. And many times, when God speaks to us, he's not only helping us in our present circumstances, but he's preparing us for the future. And so here, God speaks to Pharaoh, and Joseph is right there. God arranged things for Joseph to be there so that Joseph can give the interpretation. And now God sovereignly directs Pharaoh to put Joseph in, to be in charge of the plans, the times of plenty that would come and the times of famine that would come. And so he realized, as I reflect on things, that Joseph knew that God had a personal plan for him, for his life, that eventually his siblings might come and recognize him as the one that God has elected to rule over them. But there was a bigger plan that God had in place. If you think about it, God raised up Pharaoh, put him there at the right time, Joseph at the right time, to save Joseph's family, but also to save many lives. Egyptians and other nations were saved because Joseph was there at the right time to tell Pharaoh what to do in the times of plenty. And by the way, there's a lesson there for us from an economic standpoint, that in the times of plenty, that's the time to save. My parents taught me a simple thing as a child, to put something aside for the rainy day, which is the day when things go bad like now. That in the times of plenty, that's not the time to spend off everything. That's the time to invest. As a time to save, to realize that there are economic cycles. I'm sure most of us realize that by now, that you have times of plenty and then times of recession, then times of plenty, times of recession. And so we as a people of God need to be wise and know what to do with our resources in the times of plenty, to make sure we pay off our debts and things like that, and not to think that the times of plenty will always be there, because it's just a way that things have been. That you go through recession, then you go through expansion, back and forth. So Joseph was able to get divine wisdom from God as to what to do. Now that he has spoken, now he has given Pharaoh his dream, what should I do? Divine wisdom, friends, is not gained through secular means. It's not gained through education. Pharaoh had lots of smart people around him. But Joseph was the one that said to him, in this time of plenty, they need to build some storehouses and store up the grain, because as surely as you are here, God has decided that this is what is going to happen. We might sit back and say, well, is this judgment? Is this that? Is it? Joseph didn't say that. I don't know. There are times when famine is judgment. There are times when it's just part of the fallen world in which we live. And so when we realize that we just take advantage of the times of plenty, here Joseph was given wisdom as to what to do. It's a new plan. He actually told Pharaoh to take 20% of whatever is harvest and put it aside and store it. You see, the wisdom that God gives prepares us for the future. James says that the wisdom that reaches from above is peaceable. It's not about ourselves. It doesn't seek its own way. Let me read it for us from James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. And so Joseph got this divine wisdom that brought about peace, that provided for the lives of people and made people able to recognize that there is a God who is at work. In the midst of whatever we are going through, God will give us personal wisdom, divine wisdom, to know what to do, what to say, how to function in the midst of whatever hardships we go through. Because he doesn't just leave us to figure things out by ourselves. In fact, James says in chapter 1, if we go through trials, one of the things we should do is to pray for wisdom, and God will give us wisdom as to what to do. The fourth thing I want to share is that in the midst of the crisis, God provides. He did this for the children of Israel. He did this for Elijah. He did this for Joseph through his 13 years. He was in a circumstance where he was always taking care of his needs. And now God was providing for his own siblings, Joseph's own siblings, for Jacob and his sons and their children. Supernaturally sometimes and naturally sometimes God provides. And so no matter what we're going through, we can expect God to provide. We might not understand all of the dimensions of what we're going through, but God will still intervene. I mean, as I was reflecting on the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, God provided for 2 million people. Certainly he can provide and will provide for you and for me. If the stores go dry, he will still provide. He did that for Elijah. He fed him first by ravens, and when the brook dried up, he sent him to a widow, and the widow, her oil and her wheat did not run out. God will provide. It might seem small, but he will provide because that's the type of God that he is. It may, as I put here in my notes, it may be just enough, or it may be more than enough. That's why Paul says in Philippians that he has learned in every circumstance to be content. And he went on to say to the Philippians that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. It's a promise we have from God. He will never let the righteous be forsaken. He will not allow the righteous to have to go around and their seed, as it were, being abandoned by him. That will not happen. Now, we might choose not to walk with the Lord and end up in that situation, but it wouldn't be because God has put us there, because we have not been walking with him as we should. And the final thing I want to share is that in the midst of our crisis, we will experience divine compassion. That's what Joseph had here for his own brothers, men who sold him into slavery. He could have had enough reasons to be vindictive, but he didn't. In fact, instead he said, listen, God has sent me ahead to preserve you. This is God's word being fulfilled. Yes, he said in chapter 50 of Genesis, you meant it for evil. So it's not like trying to condone what they did. He said, no, what you guys did was wrong. But the fact is, we serve a God who causes good to come out of evil. If we appreciate his sovereignty, we realize he will bring good out of evil. Sometimes people do things for just because they spite us, just because they misunderstand things. They will do things for evil, and we can end up becoming bitter. We can end up with unforgiveness. We can end up with all sort of stuff and not allow God to work in our lives as he should. Or we can do what Joseph did, which is to forgive his own siblings. I mean, his entire life would have become basically a shambles had it not been for God. But he forgave his own siblings. And because he did that, he put himself in a place for God's will and God's purposes to be fulfilled in his life. There's a scripture that impacted me as I was looking at this earlier this week. It's when Joseph had his children. In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 51, it says that Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it's because God has made me forget all my trouble on all my father's household. So he was seeing God working with him in the midst of the pain that he went through. He could look to God and says, son, This is my testimony to the world, that God has made me forget all of my troubles. And he has made me forget what my own brothers did to me, in terms of he was able to move beyond it. The second son he named Ephraim and said, it's because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Whatever we're going through, whatever crisis, God can make us fruitful. God will make us successful. God will, if we will walk with him as we should, God will exalt his name and draw people to himself simply because of you and me, and will help us to show compassion. That's why Paul later on could say, not to respond to evil with evil, but to overcome evil with good. Have this heart of compassion, having our hearts open to God so that God can touch us, so that the very people who may mistreat you, we can show them God's love. The very people who mistreated Joseph, Joseph said, listen, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. That's a heart of compassion that God has given him, because in his crisis, God showed him compassion. I'm going to try and play for us a song that just, as we listen to it, we can meditate upon some of the things that I've shared. So I'll try and share my screen with us.
Show me.
Amen. We can put our trust in God and in His sovereignty, in His compassion, in the fact He will guide us and provide for us no matter what we go through. And we have much more available to us than Joseph ever did. And if he could maintain his walk with God, then so I believe can all of us, because we have much more available to us than he did. The Spirit of God living inside of us. We have the scriptures, we have music, we have each other. Yes, I believe by the grace of God and with the help of the Spirit, we will all make it. And we'll have testimonies. And our lives are not just for ourselves, but for others. In the same way, Joseph, his life affected his entire family and the destiny of the people of God. So too, I believe, our lives affect the destiny of others.